Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Wednesday. Super Bowl 59 this weekend. And by the way, Stillman and Company has been broadcasting live and providing updates from New Orleans on Radio Row leading up to the big game. Our coverage presented by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, Family Leisure, Shane Company, and Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Appreciate them for jumping on board with us so Jared can bring some great coverage. You can go to thegamenashville.com and hear some of the interviews that he's had through the first couple days, and he'll have more starting at 2 o'clock today. You have asked this question, though.
Yeah, if the Chiefs win on Sunday, are they, because they're doing something that's never been done in the Super Bowl era, winning three straight Super Bowls, are they the greatest franchise? I say no.
I find it fascinating that you're asking that you, Joe Dubin, are asking this question. Because as much as you like to argue about eras and, you know, different, it was different then or whatever.
Ouch.
that you're, I'm just saying, you like to do that.
I love doing that.
And it's like, okay, you're going to say they're the greatest of all time. I'm gonna say no, not yet. Right. Now, look, this, I mean, okay. Are you looking at just the three? Or are you looking at it would be four in, what is it, 6 years?
No, the three. Steelers won four in 6 years.
Right.
So, to me, the
but
Steelers...
But that's a dynasty. I mean, you view them as a dynasty.
The Steelers and the Patriots have more Super Bowls, six, than anybody, than 49ers have five. You go on and on. Steelers were the first to get there. To me, that's the greatest franchise. The Patriots are right behind them because you go by Super Bowl wins. You have to. Who got there first? The Steelers got there first. Right, and the Patriots got there. What the Chiefs are doing is amazing. If they win on Sunday, is amazing. Three straight Super Bowls. I mean, that's very rare. Jordan did it with the Bulls.
Are you saying just NFL, or are you saying all sports?
I'm saying just all sports to do three. But in the NFL, it's never been done.
Yeah.
It's never been done. And if they do it, then they have a chance to win four. I mean, you got to win Sunday, obviously, of course. But you get guys like Jordan in the NBA made it look so easy. Right, 91.
They did it twice.
91-93, 96-98. They made it, yeah. But Jordan made it look easy.
Yeah.
And that was the problem. Like, everybody could do it. The Bad Boys, the Pistons, 89-90. It's like, they'll come back. The Bears of 85, to me, is the greatest single team of all time. That's, I think, that 85 Bears are. But they didn't do it in 86 and 87, and they're
okay.
Done.
So give me the three-peats in the NBA, Showtime Lakers. Right, because that's where Pat Riley, you know, jumped on trademarking it.
Right.
The Bulls did it twice, and that's it, I think.
Well
yeah, the Kobe and Shaq, they did one, I think.
Let's do the Super Bowl with basketball, because the Celtics won like 12 in a row or something crazy back then.
But from 1970 on.
Yeah, all like
or
that.
Or 60.
There might be another. I know that Riley them didn't do it in the 80s. They wanted the three. They didn't do it. Because they won 87 and 88, and the Pistons won 89-90. Celtics won in 86. Lakers 85. Celtics 84. Sixers 83. Lakers 82.
So wait, 81. Why did he trademark it?
Because they wanted to get it, because they thought they'd repeat after the 88 season.
Was that like with the Steelers trying to do the one for the thumb?
Could be.
Wasn't that like the big thing?
So just what they're doing now. So if you're bored at the game, like, I'm not watching the game, nothing to watch for. Yeah. Hell yeah, there's plenty to watch for, because this is groundbreaking in National Football League history for a team to do this and win three straight Super Bowls. That's a big reason I'm watching. I'd love for the Eagles to kick their butt and not be able to do it. That'd be fun. I think the Eagles were a better team anyway. But you, like the Cowboys got five. They're up there. But you go by championships in the Super Bowl era, Steelers got it. So what they've done, yeah, is amazingly impressive, but no way does it make it the best franchise.
All right, so in the Super Bowl era in professional sports in the U.S., I'll give you the major ones. I'll even include racing because there's a couple in there. Baseball, I forgot about this one. The Athletics did it, 72, 73, 74.
Correct.
Then the Yankees, 98, 99, 2000.
Mm-hmm.
In IndyCar, Dario Franchitti, who used to live in Franklin, he won three in a row.
Absolute jerk.
Yeah.
Can't stand that guy.
Cale Yarborough won three in a row. Jimmy Johnson won five in a row in NASCAR. NBA, the Bulls, 91-93, the Bulls, 96-98, and then the Lakers 2000 to 2002. NFL champions, this is pre-Super Bowl, but I'm just throwing this in there for context. It was just the Packers. And that includes Super Bowl I and Super Bowl II.
Okay.
It was a part of it, but that was like five in a row or whatever. In hockey, the Canadians did a four-peat, 76 to 79. The Islanders did a four-peat, 80 to 83. That's the last time that's happened.
Jeez.
The Houston Comets of the WNBA did a four-peat from 97 to 2000. And that's it for pro sports.
Well, what makes it even more remarkable is what Buffalo did. I mean, they went
four straight, yeah.
And losing four straight. I mean, that's just my – you know, we watched all those. You know, you were just born. But we did, you know, from 90 to 93 to watch those to four straight. Hell, that's almost an accomplishment upon itself. But they didn't get it done. There's a lot of argument and a lot of debate about if they win or the Chiefs the greatest franchise.
It's funny. Let's test your knowledge.
Sure.
Here. There was in college sports, there is a local team that three-peated as a national champion. Pre-Super Bowl era.
College?
Mm-hmm.
Sewanee?
Nope. Basketball.
Oh.
NAIA.
The Lady Vols did it.
Well, right. I'm saying 1957 and 1959, the TSU Tigers.
Nice.
Three-peated.
Well done. Didn't know that. All right. Yep. That's very cool.
Let's see. USC did it in baseball, 70 to 74. That was a five-peat, actually. Oklahoma in softball has four-peated, 21 to 24. UCLA was a three-peat, 88 to 90. Football, nobody's – well, the FCS, they did it. App State, 05 to 07. North Dakota State did a five-peat, 11 to 15, and then a three-peat, 17 to 19.
That was an App State team that beat Michigan in 07, too.
Yep. Now NCAA Division I basketball, UCLA did a seven-peat from 67 to 73 with John Wooden.
What is UConn on now? They got two straight or three straight?
Two straight.
Two straight, okay.
Yeah. Women's basketball, Tennessee three-peated 96 to 98. Connecticut did it 02 to 04, and then a four-peat 13 to 16.
Jeez Louise. That's something. I mean, winning one is incredible. Two is mind-blowing, but three or more is like, holy cow.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, I think if you're going to go pro sports, this is tough. I think either of those Bulls teams, probably the second one, I mean, they were so freaking good.
They were.
Jordan came back with a vengeance. Pippen was pissed off. He had Rodman to the mix. Kukoc. Steve Kerr. I mean, Steve Kerr does not get enough credit for being a part of that.
Oh, no.
Was he a part of all three?
No. Well, no, he was the first three, I think. Wasn't he? 91 Kerr? Or 96 to 98?
I think he was the second three.
Second three. John Paxson was the first.
Paxson was the
one.
First, oh, and okay, then yeah. Horace Grant was part of some of it.
Is Mahomes Michael Jordan?
Ooh, probably. That's a better comparison, just the kind of athlete he is.
Yeah, I mean, he hates losing. The interviews and reading about this hates losing, man. And that's who you want leading your team. You want a guy who hates losing. You know, Jordan was the same way. Jordan hated losing. Jordan's pettiness against other players.
Oh, I loved it.
Was beautiful.
I loved it.
What's the game they did a back-and-back versus Washington, and I forget, it was Gilbert Arenas or one of them was talking smack to him, like, you ain't getting nothing tonight, and Jordan had a bad game. And the next night, I think it was in Washington on the road, Jordan torched him for like 45, and he wore the 45 jersey because 23 was lost or something. This is a big, long story. And
well, they had already retired 23 because he had retired.
And it was just
– yeah.
I mean, mind-blowing, the way he just approached the games. So – but obviously, you know, in football, it's different. You got 10 guys that got to help you out. In basketball, you got four. But when they plugged in Pippen and Rodman, and Luke Longley, center, and all those guys.
Will Perdue. I mean, Will Perdue won four championships.
He did.
Three with the Bulls, and then.
Who was he traded for, remember?
To San Antonio?
Yeah. You just said
don't
it.
Don't tell Steve Kerr?
Nope.
No.
You just said it.
Did I?
Mm-hmm.
Horace Grant?
Nope.
Kukoc? Longley?
Greatest rebounder of all time.
Oh, Rodman.
Yep.
Yeah. That's right. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, it is.
I was going to say something, and I just lost my
train of thought. Say it,
pal. I just lost my train of thought.
Don't do that.
On what I was, where I was going with this.
While you're thinking, I just want to throw out an odd four-peat. The Penrith Panthers of the NRL in Australia four-peated from 21 to 24. Looking for a five-peat. Probably won't happen, though. No Jerome Luai.
Do you have your little clips pulled up there?
I do.
Can you hit the Stephen A one, please?
Touch me the clips to play later. Oh, no. I'm sorry.
Please hit the Stephen
A. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can you hit the Stephen A?
Sorry about that, gentlemen.
We don't care.
Love you, Dr.
Throw another one out there. Juventus in Italian soccer, they did a 10-peat, won the Serie A title 10 times in a row. So
that's okay. What's the NRL?
The National Rugby League. The thing that I love. Nice. Just, yeah, it's awesome.
In Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here's what I was going to say. You were talking about Jordan. So, you know, he owns this NASCAR team with Denny Hamlin now.
Yep.
Like, that Jordan, like, not wanting to lose, has seeped over into NASCAR. Like, he's that – like, he's at a lot of the races, and when they win, he's, like, over the moon. And like, yeah, we kicked their ass, and, like, he's got that – like, you – everybody has commented, like, when he does interviews, it's kind of like, that's the dude that played basketball. Like, yeah. That's MJ.
Real quick, let me – what's gratifying – this is an ignorant question. I apologize, but you know racing. What does he get out of that, Jordan, if he wins the Daytona 500?
He can say he owns a team that won the Daytona 500. Like, it's winning something for him. It's a championship. It's competing. I mean, that's the reason that he's doing this, and he's talked about it, that he's missed that high compete level
mm-hmm.
since he retired, and this kind of gives it to him again. It's a rush. It's a drug for him. That's what it is, and that's why he loves it, you know?
It's a good drug.
I mean, that was – look, I think that's – you know, he's a noted gambler. I mean, I think that's why he likes gambling. Like, he gets that rush, you know, from competing or something.
He is indeed a noted gambler.
He is noted gambler. Chip from Mount Juliet asked this question. If you remove Andy Reid, would Mahomes be that good?
Oh, that's an excellent
debatable question. It's the same if you had taken Belichick and – you know, everybody wants to be like, well, I guess it was Brady – because he did go win a Super Bowl with Tampa Bay, I give you that. But I think they needed each other.
They did, and I think it's more Brady than Belichick. Look at Belichick's record without Brady. It's sub .500. But again, they drafted Brady. You can't take that away from Bill Belichick.
They developed Brady, and people don't want to give them credit for that. It's all about development. And if Andy Reid doesn't sit Mahomes for a year, who knows if Mahomes is this guy?
Mm-hmm.
It's development. You know, that's why I like what the Titans are saying they're going to do, and hopefully they do it right, of we're going to build through the draft and develop. Because you get players from free agency, you didn't develop them. They were developed somewhere else.
Right.
And like, how many quarterbacks do you see? Baker Mayfield is a prime example. Not very good with the Browns because the Browns didn't know how to use him. They didn't know how to develop him. He has to develop over time, and now he gets to Tampa. And, you know, is he elite? No. But is he pretty good? Yes. So it's all about that development, whether this Titans coaching staff can develop the guys that they're going to bring in via the draft. Time will tell. But,
right.
You know, you got to give Belichick the credit for him and, you know, Bill O'Brien and Charlie Weiss and then, you know, later Josh McDaniels. They, especially those early years, though, they developed Brady into what he became.
They did, but you got to give Brady credit.
Sure, I'm not giving him credit.
I mean, when he gives up to Robert Kraft and you hear this speech, he goes to Kraft and says, you know who I am? He's like, oh, yeah, you're that quarterback draft for Michigan. He's like, no, I'm the best draft choice you'll ever have.
Yeah.
Just the bells to say that to the owner. And you go back. That's a great question, Chip. The debate also goes to Joe Montana and Bill Walsh. Like, would Joe Montana had that career had he not been drafted? We don't know. But the fact that he had Bill Walsh, also Joe Montana had Sam Weiss with him for a couple of years in San Francisco to do what? Develop him. All these guys got developed. And you look at the extreme, like Aikman in 89 with the Cowboys. Jimmy Johnson just threw him to the fire, right? You're going to go. And remember, Aikman's job wasn't guaranteed. Remember who battled with him for that job? Steve Walsh,
yep.
Who Jimmy had in Miami. But Aikman dug deep. Worked hard, developed, with the help of the Cowboys and the coaching staff and became. So you're exactly right. It's all about developing. And, like, we know Will Levis isn't developing. We see this every Sunday. He's not developing. And then so that's why you move on from Will Levis. But there is a blueprint for this.
Speaking of Will Levis, he actually spoke at the Super Bowl. Jim Wyatt had him on, had it on his Twitter account. You'll hear what the current Titans quarterback had to say. Coming up next, it's Chase and Big Joe here on this Wednesday. This week's Nashville's best deal is Prince's Hot Chicken, the original iconic hot chicken joint. Get half off a $25 gift card now while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. This gift card is only good for the Tanger outlets in Antioch and inside Assembly Food Hall in downtown Nashville. Smashville Live coming up tonight, Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue. See your Predator star players up close and personal and also get autographs and pictures. It'll be defenseman Justin Barron and Nick Blankenberg as the guests. That's at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue starting at 6 o'clock tonight. And, of course, you can hear it right here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. A lot of athletes head down to Radio Row and Super Bowl week. Obviously, Jared's down there and has had a ton of interviews. But I saw on Jim Wyatt's X account, Twitter, that Will Levis, the Titans quarterback, was there. He had some interesting things to say about his future and the new look of the Titans.
Taking the good with the bad and making sure that I'm taking note of all the things that happened, and most importantly, trying to clean up the things that could have made the season go a little smoother if I were able to clean up beforehand. So a lot of good, a lot of things that I think I was able to improve on from last year, and a lot of stuff that I know is up to the level of what needs to, you know, happen as an NFL quarterback, and a lot of throws too that a lot of NFL quarterbacks, you know, weren't able to make, and I think that those plays give me the confidence to go and improve on the things that I need to propel me further in this league. So I'm looking forward to actually meeting him in person when I get back from the building next week, and then it was cool just hitting him back and forth. The first thing I noticed was the 617 area code, so that's close to my heart, so yes. Had a little talk there, but seems like a great dude. Obviously, he's done some amazing things with the Chiefs, and looking forward to getting to know him and seeing what he's got planned and what he sees for the vision of this team. It doesn't change the process. I feel like I think I have a really good schedule and outlook on this next couple months before we start up OTAs, and I'm going to put myself in a great position to be healthy and be ready to play, and hopefully I can do whatever I can to show them that I can and should still be the quarterback for this team. And I feel like it's in their best interest, and they got to do their due diligence to make sure that they know who's out there and evaluate who they feel like they should evaluate. So it doesn't offend me at all. And I know going 3-14 doesn't get you your job security any year and for any team. So I know how it goes, and all I can do is put my head down and work to again, show them that I can still be this team's quarterback.
That was Will Levis with Jim Wyatt of TennesseeTitans.com. Down in New Orleans at the Super Bowl, a couple of things that stood out to me that I find a little bit interesting. Maybe I'm overthinking this first part. He said he had talked to Mike Borgonzi on the phone, but has not met him in person. I kind of look at that as, if you're the franchise quarterback, wouldn't the GM want to meet you?
Right.
I mean, I'm just saying, I just...
Okay.
Maybe that's, again, a little bit of a reach on my part, but... I kind of feel like if he was Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs made a new had a new GM, that'd be the first guy he'd probably want to talk to. That's just me. But so that kind of stood out. I like Will Levis, the person. Like, I do. I think, I've met him a couple times. I don't know him well, but everything seems to tell me that he's a good guy. But I just don't think he's a franchise starting quarterback.
Right. All right. Here's my reaction every time now Will Levis speaks.
I'm here to tell you right now, we don't care. Let me tell you we don't care.
I don't. I mean, you had your shot. You had your chance. We've moved on. Wish you nothing but success going forward, but that's it. I don't care what he has to say. He had his opportunity.
And this will be your reaction and Titans fans' reaction when Will Levis has to start a game next year for the Titans.
Oh, man. Again, he said all the right things.
He is.
But we really don't care. No. I mean, you had the opportunity.
Not the guy.
He's not the guy. That's it. Yeah. You're not that guy. I mean, we got that drop too.
You're not that guy, pal.
We don't have that one anymore. You're not that guy, pal.
Damn it, Bobby. This just ain't right.
I mean, don't care what he's got to say, man. That's great. He's in there talking. Well, all that's fine.
I care what he has to say because, like, if Will Levis speaks right now, Titans fans are going to go, oh, that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
He perked up. Yeah.
Right. But, I mean, like, I saw that on Jim's Twitter, and I'm like, oh, he's talking. Okay, cool. Yeah, I want to hear from him.
Let me ask you right now. They take a quarterback number one right now. You're right now on your mind, quarterback number one.
No.
Absolutely not either. I say they don't. Nope.
I
get
think,
a bridge and trade back. Cam Ward is not the answer.
So let's – I want to bring this up next because I heard Kuharsky and Robbie and Rex were talking about this earlier today, and I was like, I have to ask Joe about this. Don't answer it yet. And that is the scenario that they do take a quarterback one overall, but they still sign a bridge quarterback. What do you think about that?
No. Whoa.
No, I said don't answer it.
Okay.
We'll talk about that next. Jason Big Joe, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.
You know you can't leave the table until you finish your vegetables.
So don't answer it.
Okay. Well,
sweetie, it's broccoli. It's good for you. Now open up for the airplane.
So don't answer it.
Okay. Well,
I don't even know what to do with that. That was good.
Somebody's working magic back there, making it happen.
Making me proud. Dunkin' fans, come experience the new age of Dunkin' at the grand opening of their newly remodeled Brentwood location at 4930 Thoroughbred Lane this Friday. Dunkin' will be giving away 100 days of free coffee to the first 100 guests in line starting at 8 a.m. Plus, Robbie and Rex Road will be broadcasting from 6 to 9, and we'll have Preds tickets to give away. So go check that out. Joe and I will be in Chicago.
Right. Robbie and Rex Road. Yeah, that'll be a fun time, baby.
Looking forward to that. We just heard Will Levis's comments. But it came up this morning on Robbie and Rex Road with Paul Kuharsky in studio. What if the Titans took either Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward one overall, but still went and signed somebody like a Derek Carr or a Kirk Cousins, or I'm not going to say Sam Darnold, and they kind of dismissed the Darnold because, like, if you're paying a ton of money to one of those guys, they're going to be your starter. But I mean, Atlanta did it last year. They signed Kirk Cousins to a big deal, and they still drafted Michael Penix,
and it turned out to be
a disaster.
I would say a disaster. Yes, kind of. They almost made the playoffs, but the consternation it developed, even when Kirk Cousins at the draft, like, what the hell? Basically, he's in a cuss. Like, he's a good man.
Well, and look, he handled it right because every public thing with him was he was helping Penix and was supporting Penix and all that stuff. But you know deep down he was pissed off.
Right. So you draft Shedeur Sanders, right? And you get Derek Carr. And Derek Carr comes here and the Titans are 1-5. Who starts chirping then?
Yeah, I mean, then it's
Daddy. Daddy's chirping. They're all chirping.
I think the more likely scenario is Cam Ward that you take because everything that a lot of people are saying is Cam Ward is not one overall, but is the better of the two. So let's say they take Cam Ward and sign Derek Carr, and Derek Carr comes in as the starter. I mean, is that not kind of similar to Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes, even though Mahomes was not the first overall pick, he was 10th.
Well, Mahomes is a billion times better than a Cam Ward. I just look, if you're going to do that, you better pray to God Cam Ward is your savior. You're going to have to believe he is your savior because this is it. I mean, this is it. You've the number one pick. This is it. This is your chance, your opportunity. The nerves come with picking number one, man. I mean,
I'm telling you that you asked me earlier, do you think they're going to take a quarterback? And I said no. What I ultimately hope ends up happening is Roger Goodell walks across the stage with the first pick and says, we have a trade to announce. That's what I hope happens. Like, just trade back. And then let your board dictate what you take. Trade back to 3 or 5, 4 or 5 or whatever. And then you have your board and you go by the board. And look, if you say trade back to 5 or 6 and Cam Ward is still there and you like him and he's on your board, then take Cam Ward at six.
Okay, I'll do
that. I don't have an issue with that, because then you're talking – then you have accomplished two things. You have gotten more picks because you traded out of one back to six. That's going to give you a lot, including a first for next year. And then you have taken a guy that you have highly rated on your board, and he happens to play quarterback. Then you can play the game of maybe you've signed Derek Carr and you draft Cam Ward and you sit him for a year. And it's a little more tangible at that point. But you take a guy number one overall, you got to play him. Now, Kuharsky said this morning that I agree with, that he doesn't love the idea of your first round pick not contributing in year one. I tend to agree with that. But if it's a quarterback, especially one of these two quarterbacks, and I've heard that, you know, Jackson Dart, there's talks of him working his way into the first round, kind of like Bo Nix did last year.
Yeah.
You know, I think you're in a situation with these three guys where if you can afford to sit them, that's probably going to be the better option for
you. So you could have Will Levis, Derek Carr, and a Cam Ward come May.
I think in that situation, you're trading Will Levis and getting whatever you can get for
him. Nobody wants him.
I think you could get a fifth for him.
You're insane.
No, I think.
How much did you drink last night?
I think three beers.
That's it? You had a ride home. All right, you're good. Yeah. I know you're safe. Did you do anything else?
No.
I mean, were you roofied?
No.
Nobody's going to offer. If Will Levis put a job application here, you'd call me and we'd laugh. It ain't happening. Nobody wants him. Do you think he gets a fifth rounder?
I need somebody to do overnight, so I'd probably have to do that.
There you go, man. Do you think somebody's going to give you a fifth rounder for Will Levis?
I mean, I don't know.
I don't think the Nashville Cats would give you a fifth rounder for Will Levis.
You know, Will Levis got a strong arm. Right, man. He can help us out.
I just think, man, nobody wants that. I mean, that's the thing. So we're left.
I think the NFL sometimes. No. Tell me if this statement is right or wrong.
Okay.
Sometimes their egos are a little too big and they think they can fix anything. Sometimes there are teams that will look at a guy like Levis and go, you know what? Yeah, give him a fifth round pick. Bring him here. I'll fix him. I do think that exists.
I want to know that too. That team is,
because you know, and
that team's worse than the Titans.
They're down in Dallas, the Dallas Cowboys, because they thought they could do something with Trey Lance, and then they got him in there and realized, oh no, he sucks. So I do. I think
I
those
don't know what to say to this.
I think those teams exist, and I do. I think you'd get a fifth round pick for Will Levis.
I think you've lost your mind. I really do. There's no way nobody wants him. They're not getting a fifth rounder for Will
right,
Levis.
But they all these coaches have egos and think, yeah, they haven't used him right. I can fix him. Not necessarily
who's
to make
wait?
Him a starter.
Have you not seen the last 2 years?
Sure I have.
No.
Well,
God.
Right. And we all kind of like drooled over the, you know, his first six games or whatever it was, going like, oh, he might be pretty good. Okay, let's see. Oh, Brian Callahan. He's a quarterback whisperer. Let's see what he can do with him. And then we saw that he wasn't it. But we all had that feeling of like, oh, maybe this might work.
You know, when I was out on Will Levis, this is why he's not getting a fifth rounder, is when he made that interception. I forget which team it was. It might have been the Colts. We threw right to the safety standing right there.
And no, the Chicago one didn't do it for you?
No.
Where he's just like throwing it up there?
No, because I'm thinking he's trying to make a play. That it was terrible, yeah, terrible, terrible.
That was a dunk. He was being an idiot.
Yeah. But the Colts game, I think it was, where he threw right to the linebacker safety and he comes to the sideline. What did he tell Brian Callahan? Oh, I didn't see him. We all saw it.
Right, right.
I didn't see him. I'm like, I'm done now with all that. Nobody's going to give you a fifth rounder.
Wes in Clarksville, the Packers fixed Malik. I don't know if they fixed him, but they made him a backup.
When he came
like, dude,
here.
Dude, he's not a starter. He's not a 17-game starter in the NFL.
When he came here, he was not Dan Marino.
No.
He just managed the game and didn't screw up. The Titans were terrible right then. That was the third or fourth game of the season, whatever it was back then. But, no, I mean, Malik Willis ain't going to lead you to the promised land.
2360 wants to know, if there are 32 teams in the NFL and the Titans have the first pick, why wouldn't they have the 33rd pick? Why is it the 35th in the second round? That is because there were ties with the same record. And so part of the way they do the tiebreaker is you don't get the first pick in the second round.
That's stupid.
I know it's dumb, but
I'm just
relaying what it is.
That's just really, really dumb with all that. No, I just think nobody wants Will Levis, and he could say whatever he wants to, but I am of the mindset, I like a bridge for 2 years. I like trading back, gobbling up draft choices, and finding your quarterback. If you can get a Jackson Dart in the second round, take it. Do it. Why not, right? I don't think Cam or Shador or these guys are the answer right now, but if you take one, you took Levis in the second round, not paying your first round money to do that. But again, nobody's asking me, and I'm glad they're not.
Yep. So I don't know. There you go. So it's an interesting discussion. You know, this is 9355. There is still a high probability these draft quarterbacks need to develop. That doesn't fix anything this year. Go get the bridge and focus on the other vacancies until they have an opportunity at a better prospect. That honestly,
mark
that. That's what I agree with. Because here's the deal. Let's say, and Dr. Crane and I talked about this last week. If you trade back to three with the Giants, okay, like, you're going to get their first round pick. I mean, that's just a part of, you have the number one overall pick. You're going to ask for the next year's first round pick. If you don't, then fire everybody.
Yeah.
But you get that. There is a really good chance that the Giants, as bad as they have just as many holes as you do, that they're going to have a top five pick next year. And you might have a top five pick next mm-hmm. year. So they hypothetically could find themselves with, you know, two picks in the top five or the top 10 next year, and that quarterback class is much better than this quarterback class.
What if they say no, but we'll give you our number two this year? We're not giving you our number one next year, but you get our number two this year.
I'm doing that. That's what I'm doing.
All right.
And I get him every time when I do that.
Got me every time, man.
Well, there's our answer, man. All right, okay.
Yeah, I mean, no. If I'm trading out of one, I want your first next year. Because guess what? I don't have to give you my first overall pick. I don't have to do that. And these other teams need to understand that.
Wait, who's second now, the Browns?
Yeah.
So now do the Browns get Abdul Carter now that Miles Garrett wants to say goodbye? They need an edge rusher.
Maybe. But guess what? I think look, the Patriots, because they have the quarterback, but Abdul Carter is a Vrabel guy. So if he thinks that Carter's not going to be there at four, I could see him wanting to move up. It's not just the quarterbacks that people are going to chase. And
no.
Is there a team that's absolutely head over heels for Travis Hunter? That's another thing. Because remember, they all get paranoid of like, oh, this guy might be gone. We just got just give him the farm. You know, like, I mean, I'm not saying it's to the point of Ditka and Ricky Williams, but, you know, like that happens.
I'd like to see Vrabel trade from 4-1, Titan ship Jeffrey Simmons up there. Then you get their four. They're number one next year, and just fleece Vrabel. If he's in love, then he's got Abdul Carter, Jeffrey Simmons. Then you do the Herschel Walker deal in the back end. You try to get as much as you can.
Yeah.
That'd be great to do that.
Coming up next, it's time for What Day Is It? And Celebrity Birthdays. We'll do that here on the Chasing Big Joe Show, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game on this Wednesday. Jared, of course, live at Radio Row. He'll have more coverage starting at 2:00 today with his big game coverage, all presented by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, Family Leisure, Shane Company, and Volunteer Hose and Gasket. So appreciate them. We probably will check in with Mr. Stillman during our show tomorrow when we're live at the Omni Nashville Hotel. With that, let's get to What Day Is It and Celebrity Birthdays. Now, that means hit the music, but I got to do the read. We're going to get this figured out eventually. Presented by Jarrett Companies, Inc., above and beyond industry standards. The only company you need for commercial construction services. Dr. Crane, take it away.
All righty. First, unless we have California Western Monarch Day, so not really quite sure of all
do
that.
Do you not look these up and see what it is?
No, I don't.
And honestly, that's the best part of this segment.
Next one we have is Disaster Day. Kind of this
9/11.
Let's see. Move Hollywood and Broadway to Lebanon, Pennsylvania.
What about to Lebanon, Tennessee?
We could do that. I'm all right with it.
Do they call it Lebanon, Pennsylvania, or is it Lebanon like it is out here?
I'm going to pronounce it Lebanon. I don't know if it's Lebanon or not, but it doesn't sound cool. So,
all right.
Let's see. National Chocolate Fondue Day. So, due day. That's funny.
Like didn't fondue. We have that yesterday?
In what regard?
You did.
You ready for this, Joe? Next one we have is National Fart Day is next.
Oh, wow.
Is it really?
I swear, yeah.
You had that like yesterday. A good old fart, man.
I wish you were there yesterday, Chase. I really do. Let's see. National.
All right. What was that smell like?
It wasn't really the smell. It was the air, and it was just the hilarious
my tummy
sound.
Hurt, man.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
It's all good.
What was that, Chase?
Was it just...
He was the last time. Patient there. It was just comical. Just,
I'm so sorry.
He was good, though. He was good.
But praise the Lord. All came out. Tests were good and clear. Praise the Lord. Man, go get a colonoscopy. Go if you're over 45. If you went to the prom and sang the Spandau Ballet True, go get your colonoscopy. All right.
All right. Continuing. National Girls and Women's in Sports Day is today. Shout out to all the women in sports.
Amen.
Let's see. National Shower with a Friend Day.
What?
That's what it says. National Shower with a Friend Day. So
I'm going to pass on that.
It
depends on who your friend is, though, yeah. Right?
Well, yeah.
I guess, but I'll pass for that. Let's see. National Signing Day is today. Let's see. National Weather Person Day. World Read Aloud Day. That's what I do every day at the end of the show. And World Nutella Day.
So there's a weather person no longer in our market, and I sent Chase this today, who celebrated herself on National Weather Person Day. If you have to celebrate yourself on a day that we need to talk, you need to see Dr. Freud. I mean, it's just letting you know. Let somebody else celebrate you. Don't celebrate yourself. Like you can be a big fan of yourself.
Sure.
But don't go on and celebrate yourself.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. All right, time for celebrity birthdays. America's favorite game. Got to get these within two.
Here we go. The at-home version coming soon.
Yeah, that's right. First birthday is actor Christopher Guest. He is from Spinal Tap, married to Jamie Lee Curtis. Had a weird role in A Few Good Men, but he was in there.
75.
65. 77. Chaser knows. Up 1-0. Dr. Crane, you see Spinal Tap?
It's none more black.
You seen Spinal Tap?
I don't believe I have.
You need to watch it. It's an iconic, amazing movie.
I try folding it. That movie is so good.
This
one goes to 11. Just make 10 louder. Right. No, it's one louder.
Mostly ad-libbed. All right, actor Tim Meadows from SNL.
Sixty-four.
Tied at ones. I like this. Shaping it to be good. Actress Jennifer Jason Leigh. She was in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. She was in Backdraft.
Backdraft's a great movie. 57.
60.
63. So close. My favorite SNL player of all time, Chris Parnell. He's from Memphis. He's just such a good. He's such a good guy on SNL. Chris Parnell,
68,
2-1. Chaser, well done. By the way, Chris Parnell was the drama teacher at Germantown High School in Memphis. Move on down here. Singer Bobby Brown.
Oh.
2-1.
67.
56.
Yeah.
Bobby Brown. Don't know who this is. We'll keep going down. Don't know who that is. All right. Got some more coming for you here. Actress Barbara Hershey. She was in Beaches, the movie that makes Chase cry every single time.
55.
60.
77.
Okay.
Actress Laura Linney. She was in Ozark and been in she was in The Truman Show.
47.
43.
61. Bass player Duff McKagan of Guns N' Roses.
64.
70.
61. The lead singer of the Spin Doctors, Chris Barron.
63.
65.
58. Country singer Sarah Evans. She's still married to Jay Barker?
No.
Good.
54.
50.
54, exactly. Chaser up 4-1. Pulling away just a little bit there, Chaser. We got a few more. All right, birthdays, one sports birthdays now. Don Cherry, hockey announcer.
80.
81.
91. Dallas Cowboy quarterback Roger Staubach.
Fine Navy man, too. 82.
88.
83. Chasers up 5-1. Craig Morton, quarterback of the Denver Broncos, who Roger Staubach beat in the Super Bowl.
Didn't he also play for the Cowboys at one point?
Look at you, man. I'm proud of you,
buddy. 79.
75.
83.
Oh, wow.
Chase, you got to get this one. I know you hate when I say that. Darryl Waltrip.
DW. 78.
70.
78. Chaser's up 7-1. He sealed the deal. Two more. Roberto Alomar.
Ooh. 64.
56.
57. 7-2. Last one, Cristiano Ronaldo.
41.
40.
40, exactly. Too little, too late, though.
Dr. Crane.
Chase wins 7-4.
That is going to do it for us.
Hey.
Hang on.
Yes,
I got to get used to this. Celebrity birthdays brought to you by Jarrett Companies, Inc., above and beyond industry standards. Electrical services, electrical installations, electrical inspections, upgrades and replacements. Just visit them online at JarrettCompaniesInc.com.
Well done. Hey, we leave our show every day to our guys out there. If you are struggling, need to talk to somebody, please, please talk to someone on your cell phone. You can call or text 988. Somebody's always there to talk to you. Before you do anything, please reach out and talk to somebody. We're here for you all the time. We had the pleasure of talking to so many of you guys in 2024. We love it. We all walk together. We tell you this all the time. Your journey might be difficult. It might be rough, but it's your journey. And it's a beautiful journey, and we're here for you as we all walk together. And remember this, we love you. More importantly, God loves you.
Peace, love, rock and roll. We'll be back at it at 9 o'clock tomorrow, but don't go anywhere. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick is next. 102.5, 106.3, The Game.